In a small fishing village clinging to Japan's rocky coast, 9-year-old Chiyo Sakamoto tends to her dying mother while helping her fisherman father mend nets. Her extraordinary water-gray eyes catch the attention of Mr. Tanaka, a wealthy fish merchant whose silk kimono and refined manner represent everything her life isn't. When he invites Chiyo and her plain, wooden-natured sister Satsu to visit his home in nearby Senzuru, the young girl weaves elaborate fantasies of adoption into his world of polished floors and porcelain teacups. The betrayal, when it comes, is absolute. Mr. Tanaka sells both sisters into servitude. While Satsu is condemned to a brothel, Chiyo finds herself transported to Kyoto's famous Gion district, a world of wooden tea houses and mysterious women in elaborate kimono. At the Nita Okia geisha house, Chiyo encounters her nemesis, the beautiful but venomous Hatsumomo, who marks her immediately as a rival. Under the calculating gaze of Mother, the Okia's business-minded proprietress, Chiyo begins life as a maid, her dreams of escape crushed by a failed attempt that leaves her with injured legs and the devastating news of her parents' deaths. The final threads connecting her to her former life arrive in a plain wooden box containing her family's mortuary tablets, all that remains of the coastal village where waves once lulled her to sleep. At 12, Chiyo's life changes when she meets the chairman, a distinguished businessman who shows her unexpected kindness by the Shirakawa stream, offering his handkerchief and money for shaved ice after a cruel encounter with Hatsumomo. This simple act gives her a new purpose, to become a geisha worthy of such a man. Her fortune turns when the celebrated geisha Mameha becomes her older sister through a business arrangement with Mother. Under Mameha's strict guidance, Chiyo resumes her education in the geisha arts, mastering shamisen, singing, dance, tea ceremony, and conversation. The training is grueling, with endless practice in harsh conditions and mere hours of sleep each night. At 14, Chiyo becomes Sayuri, undergoing the painful transformation of her hair into the traditional split peach style. Before her debut, she confronts her reflection with mixed emotions. The person kneeling was me, but so was the unfamiliar girl gazing back with flowering red lips on stark white face. This new identity marks both her opportunity and the loss of her former self. Surviving in Gion demands strategic mastery. Sayuri faces constant sabotage from Hatsumomo, who disrupts her teahouse appearances and spreads rumors. Mameha counters by connecting Sayuri with influential men. Nobu Toshikazu, a scarred executive who shows interest despite his intimidating presence, and Dr. Crab, a wealthy physician who collects specimens from geisha. Mameha orchestrates a bidding war for Sayuri's mizuage, virginity ceremony, to help pay off her okia debts. Despite Hatsumomo's attempts to sabotage this plan, Dr. Crab pays a record sum, allowing Sayuri to clear her debts early. Though the ceremony proves uncomfortable, it elevates her status significantly. This new standing leads to a pivotal confrontation when Mother assigns Hatsumomo's room to Sayuri. When Hatsumomo threatens to reveal Sayuri's diary, Sayuri discovers an emerald brooch Hatsumomo once falsely accused her of stealing. This revelation marks the beginning of Hatsumomo's downfall, culminating in her expulsion after she attacks a famous kabuki actor. As Sayuri's star rises in Gion, dark clouds gather over Japan. Though the geisha districts initially remain insulated from hardship, like a mountaintop pond, this privileged existence crumbles when General Tottori, Sayuri's patron, is arrested for suspected disloyalty in 1942. Neighborhood associations quickly strip the okia of their hoarded food, silk kimonos, and luxury goods. By January 1944, the government closes all geisha districts, forcing women into factory work. Many attempt to flee rather than face brutal conditions. Sayuri finds no help from former patrons, except Nobu, who arranges for her to live with Arashino, a kimono maker now sewing parachutes. For 3 years, Sayuri's hands become permanently stained blue and calloused from harsh dyes and endless sewing. When Nobu visits in 1947, he grimly notes she looks like a peasant despite his evident concern. He comes with purpose, to convince Sayuri to return to Gion to help Iwamura Electric survive by entertaining an influential deputy minister who could determine their fate. Sayuri's secret love for the chairman, whose kindness changed her life, becomes a source of anguish when Nobu seeks to become her Donna. Though she values Nobu's friendship, the thought of being tied to him instead of the chairman torments her. On Amami Island, Sayuri plots to discourage Nobu by ensuring he discovers her with Minister Sato. She enlists Pumpkin's help, but Pumpkin, harboring old grudges, brings the chairman to witness the scene instead. This seeming disaster leads to truth. The chairman had arranged for Mameha to be Sayori's mentor after their early encounter, but remained distant out of loyalty to Nobu, his company's savior. Only after Nobu's rejection could he finally reveal his feelings. As Sayuri's Donna, the chairman arranges for her to leave geisha life while maintaining residence at the Okiya. They share intimate evenings at a house he purchases in northeast Kyoto, developing their own comfortable rhythm together. In 1956, their relationship faces a crisis when the chairman's succession plans are threatened. His intended heir discovers Sayuri bore the chairman an illegitimate son. Sensing his distress, Sayuri suggests opening a tea house in New York, offering to take their child away from Japan. This solution leads Sayuri to America, where she establishes a tea house for Japanese businessmen and breaks ties with the Nida Okiya. New York becomes her second home. During the chairman's final visit before his death, they walk through Central Park, where he reflects, "Sometimes I think the things I remember are more real than the things I see," echoing Sayuri's experience of living between two worlds. Like water flowing around obstacles, Sayuri's life shows how to navigate forces beyond our control while maintaining our essence. When Mr. Tanasa spotted her unusual eyes in that fishing village, her path changed forever, yet she found ways to adapt and persist through hardship. Sayuri transforms suffering into art, with traditional arts becoming not just professional skills, but expressions of deeper truths. I discovered that when my body felt heavy with sadness, thinking of my lost family, I could move with remarkable dignity. Her hardships become the foundation for an extraordinary journey. Despite the commodification of her talents, Sayuri maintains an unshakable core identity. Her wisdom acknowledges life's impermanence while affirming memory's value. Our world is no more permanent than a wave rising on the ocean. Our struggles soon bleed into a wash, like watery ink on paper. Through these memories, something essential endures, rippling outward through time like water flowing toward the sea.